Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
How is it there in Arizona? How's the weather?
Oh, it's called Chamber of Commerce weather.
What does that mean?
Beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Why we live here.
I know.
Usually it doesn't cool off until Halloween, but this year we've cooled a couple of weeks early, which is perfect. And that means that we have nice temps during the day, 80s at this point, mid-80s. And then the evenings are in the 50s and low 60s.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. Are you near Sedona?
No, not close enough.
Where are you Sedona. At?
I'm in Tucson.
Oh, Tucson.
So I'm 60 miles from Mexico.
Oh, okay. I'm about maybe, am I 60 miles? I don't know, but I'm close to Mexico too. Right here in San Diego. They just opened back up the border so I can go back across. Oh, I love it. I'm telling you, I go over there and rent a beachfront cottage, have some great food, go to the spa, buy some great Aztec art.
Right.
I'm in my element.
And spend a fraction of what you would spend here.
Now, I don't know about all that now. No. You just got to add more pesos, because really, you know, the economic trend is all over the world, you know, and so it used to be more affordable. You used to be able to barter. Now people are like, look, you know, I'm not going to give you these great deals like I used to. But you are a great deal, and you are here with me on the edge. That is Lyndon Kid Brains right there. Look at that. Look at her. She is here on the edge. And we're going to talk about things employment. What does the employment arena look like? What does it look like to establish yourself as a successful entrepreneur or solopreneur? What are the trends? How can you become a valuable independent contributor to an organization in this new online space? How are you going to be rewarded and recognized? What are the kind of things that you are going to be challenged with when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion? The pronouns, that's big right now. What are people expecting? Their expectations have really, really catapulted to the next level right now. They're not going to just handle the status quo. As you know, and I know, Brains, there's a plethora of jobs out there and nobody's applying for them. Okay, so what does that say? Does the paradigm need to shift with employment and the thought process behind hiring employees? Or do we need to, you know, be more independent and get out there and start our own? I don't know, but I tell you what, Lyndon is going to fill in the white space. So welcome, Ms. Kidd.
Thank you so much for having me, April. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. Bray, she is an author. She is an expert coach living in Tucson, Arizona. Look at that book, Ignite Your Leadership. And she works with Jack Canfield. So you know you can't go wrong. Tell us a little bit more about you and how you show up in the world.
Thanks, April. So here's the deal. The long story is I'm actually trained as an attorney. But my first job out of law school was in a very non-traditional role. I was a healthcare executive in a medium-sized acute care hospital. Went on to do management consulting, moved across the country, and finally ended up on the East Coast in the Mid-Atlantic states. Found myself actually out of a job and needed to identify what I was going to do next. Ended up joining a retained executive search consulting firm. So that's a very high-level headhunter, and thoroughly loved that work. Also loved what I was doing. We were still in healthcare, so we were in that beautiful niche, which is a very passionate area for people to be in. that I learned in that time what was really important to employers, which is part of the secret sauce that I have carried forward with me into the life that I'm living today. So retained executive search in the dot-com bubble in a particular period of time that would date me way too much.
Go with it, honey. I count, and with this COVID, honey, I count everyday joy. Count it all.
That's right. No question. At any rate, after the dot-com bubble, the organization that I was with went through some changes. I'd been promoted onto the corporate side. I was last in, first out. Found myself in a job campaign again. And in that campaign, I had two job offers coming my way. Both of them were, the company were two blocks apart, but it was an hour and a half commute one way on the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Wow.
My daughter wasn't even two at the time. And I said to myself, okay, recruiters typically spend 10, 12 hour days, easy. That plus a 3 hour commute, I was never seeing my daughter with her eyes open. So rather than accept one of those job offers, I actually launched my own recruiting firm.
Wow.
I went back to my roots. I went back to healthcare, and I was recruiting physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and other specialized care providers. And I did that for a little over a decade. The interesting part in my journey here, and this is a little bit of a spoiler alert, in 2009, my beautiful husband died suddenly, and we had just moved to Tucson. We had been here not even 9 months at the time. And he was a week short of his 40th birthday when he passed.
Wow.
He had a genetic disease that we did not know he had, and obviously he didn't know he had. And suddenly I found myself in kind of, well, in an upside down world. My daughter was 7 at the time.
Wow.
And we had moved twice in an 18-month period of time. I was tired of moving, flattened with grief, and I decided I was going to take everyone's advice and not do anything, not make any major decisions for at least 1 year. Actually, it turned out to be longer, but one of the decisions that came out of that period of time was, one, staying in Tucson. Both Sophia and I have grown to love this community and to make it our own. And part of that meant finding a village, because we hadn't been here long enough to really create a village. But we found a village, and we created a life for ourselves here that allowed us to thrive, ultimately. But what happened with me is I frankly soured, if you will, on doing the transactional recruitment type of work. And what that meant was I wanted to serve people at a deeper level. And I wanted to serve them at a place that really made a difference for them. And over time, I started working with the Campfield organization, had the opportunity to take part in Jack's Train the Trainer program. I am a Campfield Method certified trainer, which is the highest level of trainer that he recognizes, and had lots of growth during that period of time. And in my yearning, if you will, I pivoted. I was going to be a life coach. Then that felt, it just didn't feel right to me. So
right.
I pivoted again, and I decided I was going to focus on career, on this concept of being creative in our work.
You do. And, you know, it's so much of that is really evolution, because we have to be innovative. Everything is changing, and it's changing quicker than we can keep up with it. So when you're looking at the workforce now, so many people want flexibility. Flexibility is key. What does that look like? Flexibility is not the same for everyone. Some people need to be able to be a caregiver. Some people have choices and problems with childcare. Some people only want to work a limited amount. Some people want to work from their home. So when you go and you recruit these individuals, and when you're preparing to interview, you want to have a list of options and choices that you can negotiate, not demand, brains, because again, you are to be an independent contributor to an employee. You're not to run the company. So when you go in and you're looking at these things, what are some of the things that we should really consider when we're looking at our packet and the things that a company offers us?
Well, April, you raise a great point. One of the things that I'm a huge proponent about is we want autonomy. We want autonomy over how we do our work. And so that can be autonomy either in a physical workspace, it can be autonomy in a remote workspace, it can be autonomy in a hybrid workspace. But your first clue is going to come from the position description or the job ad. So as you're looking at the description of the work, or if you're in a more executive role, you're listening to a recruiter describe the kind of work that's anticipated. You want to be listening for what are the values of the company and how are they embracing, especially right now, embracing their workforce, because you know as well as I do, there's still so much in flux. Some companies are saying, no, y'all have to come back. Some companies are saying, yeah, I'll have to come back and y'all have to be vaccinated. Other companies are saying, okay, we'll, you know, put you on the honor system and you have to either be vaccinated or tested. Other companies are saying, yeah, we appreciate remote work and we want you to stay working remotely. And yet, remote work, even at that level, can be varied. Some companies that allow remote work actually have monitoring software where they check to see if you
girl, how many keystrokes, really, how many keystrokes you get, how productive you are, because they don't want you sitting there laying in the bed watching Netflix and say that you've worked overtime.
Right.
Okay. Also, what companies have to take into consideration is now a lot of your intellectual property is being moved off site. You know, and so what is the liability to your end user? You know, your equipment, the laptops, the printers, the cell phones, all of that. What if your kid pours milk into that? Who's responsible for it? You know, or what if you're not sitting at your desk? You're not ergonomically correct. There's a workers' compensation claim there. Also, as the employee, how are you able to justify really what you do when it's time for your review? When it's time to ask for that additional change, you've got to be able to have some equity. And how are you going to continue to help grow the organization? Because basically, that's what they want you for. They want you there for productivity and to be solution seekers.
They hire problem solvers.
That's right.
And that's why you're there, to provide solutions, to your point.
That's right. So
you need to be aware that you need to be keeping track of those things. And you need to be recording what are your accomplishments, because over the course of your career, when you look at that document that we call a resume, we want to know what your accomplishments were, not what your responsibilities were. So you need to be able to talk in an objective and measurable way about what you've accomplished. Now, you may have been a part of a team that accomplished a great result, but you still had individual responsibility. So you need to be able to talk about that individual responsibility that you had and what, again, you did with that responsibility that resulted in the accomplishment. So when I'm working with people, for example, and we're preparing, say, for an interview, we spend a lot of time drilling down on, one, a format in which you can respond to the questions so you keep your answers clear in your own mind, but also being really focused on the signature story that you can tell about that accomplishment and about relating to the person that's listening on the other end, or the persons if you're doing a panel interview, and being sure you're speaking to what's important to them, because they are listening for, are you that ideal solution provider that they want in that position?
Right. And you're not coming in as their competition. You know, people are like, well, you know, I look to be the CEO of the company, and you're sitting right there with the CEO. He's like, oh, you know, I'm hiring somebody that's going to replace me. So be careful what you say. Do some mock interviews with individuals like Lyndon. Run it across your kids. How does it sound? Are you reducing your filler words? Ums, ahs. Do you have a clear objective? Do you really know what you want? Because an interview is an exchange of information, brains. You're not going in there groveling. You know, you have to make sure that this is a good fit on both sides. I want to talk to you a little bit about diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's it. That's happening right now.
It is.
You know, a lot of, I say this with love, but just because you have minorities in your organization, are they in leadership roles? Are they in roles that are really going to be impactful and insightful? I don't need one particular group just being in manufacturing or being in the warehouse. I need them to be on boards. I need them to be the head of accounting. I need them to be the head of research and development. This is how this diversity is really going to be included. Also, the big buzzwords now, the pronoun, you know, people are wanting to be respected in a different kind of way.
Absolutely.
You know, and we have so much diversity in the workforce. People are kind of walking on eggshells. You know, they don't know what to say.
Well, and part of it, and we've seen this with other initiatives, the pendulum has swung. And right now, diversity, equity, and inclusion is in the spotlight. And it needs to be. And what we're seeing, what I'm observing, is let's say diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives were embedded within the organization, but they weren't given a place at the table from a leadership perspective. And what we're seeing right now is that leadership is truly identifying that diversity, equity, inclusion programs need to have that level of responsibility, respect, and recognition. And so that's happening in organizations, but it also is another example of change. And you know, and your brains know, that change sometimes is hard and it's scary. So what does it mean for various organizations? And what we're seeing is the organizations that are being the most successful are those that are doing a good job communicating what their intentions are, what their programs intend to be, and how the changes are to be implemented throughout the organization. But we're still talking about something that's so intrinsically in the fabric, if you will, of the culture, that extracting, say, practices that weren't beneficial are challenging. And again, they create a sense of anxiety around the uncertainty of change. So I think what I would suggest to your brains out there is we all have to be part of the solution, and we all have to be open to a solution that is more inclusive, that is more aware, that allows us to see things differently. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's really hard to do, as we know in our society right now.
Well, I mean, you're going to be behind the eight ball because, you know, you're just chasing your tail.
You need
to be innovative, and you need to be active listeners. You need to have these focus groups with your employees. You need to see what the end user brings, the end user. That's your client. That's the person that you're supporting. That is who you really need to communicate with and listen to, because what we thought the needs were and the desires have completely changed. This will never be 2019 ever again. You know,
you're so right.
Everything is these online presence and all these online, you know, Zoom meetings and all this kind of stuff. You know, you're wearing your sweatpants and Birkenstocks from the waist down and the suit and tie from the waist up. Everything has shifted. So being a good listener, being engaged, having that information, but also having an outward mindset. That's huge. It's not internal. It's external. Share.
Most organizations have done a great job of being focused on their customer. Mm-hmm. But this is a time for them to be aware that they have internal customers as well. Mm-hmm. And so part of the success of all of their internal customers, i.e. their employees, is that this shift, and it's what happens in this time. And there is a sense of fairness about what happens in the shifts that they are encouraging within their organizations. Also, this is one of the things that I'm having great respect for, is in these organizations, as they're elevating this initiative, they're also doing a brilliant job with many of the people that they hire to come in and lead these kinds of changes. So I'm really delighted to see some of that shifting happening and what it means long-term for organizations that fully embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion in a truly equitable manner throughout the organization.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work. Okay, it's a lot of heavy lifting because people come with that old school mindset and the world is a different place. Let's also talk about the enhancement of the productivity in a team. You know, you got some people doing a job and a half right now.
A lot of people doing a job and a half because they were understaffed going into it. They're in roles or in industries that are continuing to be short-staffed, and they're trying to figure out what to do. So in August of 2021, almost 3% of the U.S. workforce quit. 3%. That means 4.3 million people said bye-bye to their work. And they weren't necessarily going to something like alternative employment. They were quitting to figure out what they were going to do next. So one of the points that you made earlier, April, is that some people are saying, nuts to this, I'm not working for the man anymore. I am, in fact, going to become an entrepreneur. And so there is an entrepreneurial mindset around figuring out how to get to success. And there are resources out there. The Small Business Administration is a great example. There's other organizations like SCORE that can help you if you decide to go into business for yourself. Develop the business plan, figure out what kind of financing you need, figure out what kind of documentation you need to justify your organization. So you do it right so you don't get caught with your shorts around your knees. You need to be in that situation.
That's not a cute look, brains. Especially after COVID and we didn't gain that extra 20 pounds.
That's so true. But there are resources out there that can allow you to take the entrepreneurial venture, if you will, to the level that you need it to so you can see if you can be successful.
Exactly.
Also, depending on the kind of business we're talking about, some people are looking to be online entrepreneurs. And so then they're working with entities like developing an email list and that kind of thing. Some of those companies as well are opting and providing tremendous resources right now because there is the sense that there is this revolution of people who are willing to provide services to individuals. And so there's this mix of people who've said, nah, I'm not working for the man anymore and are disengaging from that environment, but who are also saying, hey, I've got a message to share. I've got a story to tell and I'm going to tell it. I just need to figure out how to do it.
And what you need to do, brains, is that you really need to, you know, dial back, step back and look at it with a helicopter view of what's going on. What do you want? What is the end result? You know, we're playing the long game, not the short game. Don't be in it because you're disgruntled, because you lost your job. Okay, well, maybe it wasn't a good fit. Maybe it was time for you to leave. You know, but you sit up here and you whine and you moan and you complain. Are you taking full advantage of every opportunity that you have in an organization? Are you cross-training? Even sometimes if you have to volunteer your lunch hour and you've always wanted to be in accounting, go and sit and have a conversation with that person. Have informational interviews with the people in HR, the subject matter leaders. Go in and look and Google and see what the salary ranges are for these positions. And do you line up? You know, you're going to go in there and ask it. I got a girlfriend, Linda. One of her employees just asked her for $100K. Okay, now she was making $60K. So, you know, she gonna have to bring in $440K. How is she gonna justify a $40,000 increase? Let me dial back a little bit though. A resume. Girl, I haven't been in corporate America in so long, I even forgot what they look like. I could write a mean resume, but a lot of times people have resumes prepared for them and they can't speak to that. What is the trend in writing a good resume to go out and get a job?
Unfortunately, the trend is you've got to write a resume to the applicant tracking system that is the way that you apply to companies. And so there is a lot of magic to that in order to make these applicant tracking systems actually score, in many cases, a resume. And they give them, you know, a percentage based on the number of times the keywords and phrases are listed. So if you're thinking about a resume, let's go back to something I said earlier. You've got to have accomplishments on there. It's got to be objective and measurable. You need to have, and the way that I teach the, actually, I am not necessarily a proponent of having somebody write your resume. Don't get me wrong. I know for some of you, that's the right solution. But I want to teach you how to fish. So I want to teach you how to customize your resume, because for every time you apply, you need to be customizing your resume to that particular
opportunity.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time.
Wow. So it's no longer the template.
No, you customize the template. You customize the template.
Wow. And then there's a cover letters. Are they still doing cover letters too?
They are. They're not always read until you actually get to be a finalist.
And you know what I find is disrespectful, really quick, and I'll let you continue, is that if you don't get the position, where did companies come up with this that they don't even contact you? I think that's so disrespectful. You've right. got me sitting on eggshells, waiting to see if I hear from you. I come in, I interview with you, and you don't even tell me, just tell me we've went with another candidate. But I think that they got so much back and forth with, well, why didn't I get the job? And then that opens up Pandora's box. Why do they do that? I think that's so rude.
I agree. And there's a lot of ghosting actually that goes on both parts. I think before the lockdown, before the tightness of the market with the pandemic, that there were a lot of candidates that were ghosting employers. And it's just a lot of bad behavior going around. So what I would encourage you is, one, don't do it yourself. But two, if you think that's happening to you, reach out to that person. Hopefully you created a relationship with someone as you were going through the process. And you pick up the phone, you call that person, and you just say, hey, y'all, I haven't heard from you. I anticipated hearing from you by X date. Could you at least catch me up on next steps if there are any? Or if you've gone on with another candidate, I would appreciate knowing that too. And as long as you can appeal to a person, usually that person will pick up the phone or send you an email and let you know. So there's things proactively. April, what I want you to hear is there are things proactively that you can do so you don't get ghosted. And that's creating those relationships as you go along, not being too passive as you go through the process and just accepting from them, but also checking in with them called, when will I hear from you next? What's the next step in the process? And just being very, very proactive again about that.
So, and looking at your I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, to your point about ghosting, don't, and to cover letters, etc. The process is very different. This is not, I say, this is not your mother's job search. Mm. Not your mother's jeans. This is not your mother's job search. And so you do need to be aware that there are nuances that you may not have ever encountered in the past. So find some guidance, find some way to get knowledgeable about what you need to do so you can be competitive. I talk to people over and over again who say, I've submitted hundreds of resumes and I barely hear back. Well, it's probably because there's something going on with your resume that's not matching up with what's happening with the applicant tracking system. So I hate to keep beating that drum, but that's the major difference in the market.
And they're looking, yeah, they're looking for these keywords, brains. They got, you know, the HR recruiter is trying to call candidates. They're not trying to sit there and read each thing. They've got an algorithm for that. They've got software. I got friends that have master's degrees and they have dialed back. They don't even put that on there because you're overqualified. How in the world am I unemployed, but I'm overqualified? So again, it's that verbiage. You know, what can you bring to the table? What have you done at your previous organization? You know, how are you creative and innovative? I also wanted to ask you a little bit before we go on about salaries. You know, go in and look and see how you match up, but understand that it is a packet that you're getting. It's not just a dollar amount. Are there initial public offerings? Is there a 401k? What does your benefits look like? Sometimes you can negotiate additional vacation. Baby, I was a negotiator. Oh, yes. I would leave with a nice, nice packet. And I've had several jobs, and I'm not embarrassed by it because I wasn't loyal to them. They weren't loyal to me. But what I did was I built valuable relationships. I was able to springboard. I was able to get great referrals. You know, some of these things you can't put a dollar amount on. Is there cross training? Is there travel involved? Is there educational reimbursement? all of that is a part of a very enticing packet. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And one of the things you mentioned, you need to be aware that you can negotiate oftentimes for things that maybe hadn't been considered, like parking. Some places, right. You know, that can be a big deal. So what you need to know, and you mentioned this earlier, there's resources like glassdoor.com where you can actually go in, and for many companies, they show ranges for particular positions. You can go into salary.com. That's another place where you can go in, put in your position title in the geographic area that you're in, and it'll give you a range of the salary based on how experienced you are in your work. Payscale as well, payscale.com is another resource. Inside Indeed, there's salary information. Inside LinkedIn, there's salary information. And what you want to do is you want to research the salary as you begin your campaign, because you don't want to get to the point where you're being invited for an interview and you're suddenly doing research on, does this job pay me enough? Right. Is this job going to be it? The other thing I do want you to think about, and you alluded to this too, is sometimes taking a job with a company, there's a value proposition there that is intangible. And it might be that maybe you were going for a salary of $50,000 and it came in at $45,000 and you're looking at it going, oh, I can't possibly figure out how to do it at $45,000. Then you need to regroup with your family and say, is there something like a side gig that we could do that could get me to 50? Because this is my dream company. I've always wanted to work here. This would be an opportunity for me to get a foot in the door. And then once I'm inside, the sky's the limit. I have the opportunity to look around, to maneuver more effectively within the company. Because it's always easier to get a job when you have a job.
Oh, I know. Or when you're looking for a job, you get two or three offers at the same time, and then you're scratching your head like, oh my goodness, which one do I take? Let's talk a little bit about work-life balance. Okay.
Well, okay, my belief about work-life balance is there really isn't any.
That
we go through times where there's more on our plate than it feels like we can manage. And yet we move through that bolus of work and we get to the other side and maybe there's not as much to do in that next moment. So what you want to be aware of is the ebb and flow of work that comes into any particular role. And if you're feeling like there is no balance, that it's constantly the fire hose is open, then you need to be having a conversation with the leadership in your organization to say, wait a minute, I'm feeling like this is not good for me. This is not good for my family. And I need to dial back how many things I'm being asked to be a part of. And that's something that you've got to feel in your heart in terms of what's going on with you, what's going on with your family, what's going on with your mental health. And then you need to put it in the context of what the rules are within your organization. And you may discover that the culture of your organization isn't a good place for you.
Right. And step out. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, again, I love how you say check in with your mental health, because you can just be off the rail and not really realize it, being stressed and not realize it, overworking, being away from your family. There's only so much money you can make. And I would sure hate for somebody to look over in your grave and say, oh my God, Betty, she was such a great worker. But you never saw her, you know, at a networking meeting. You never saw her hang out with the girls. You never heard about her, you know, her journeys or her struggles. Never knew her as a person, just knew her as this machine, this person that just kept churning. I would like for you to give three tips to individuals that are looking to start entrepreneurial or solopreneurial positions. Because again, even though you are an entrepreneur, brains, you can't do it by yourself.
Oh, what a great point, April. So the first thing is be clear what you want to do. And that means some of the steps I've mentioned before. Develop a business plan. Work with someone who can help you flesh out what your steps are in your journey. Also, the other thing is be aware of your own resilience. The entrepreneurship path can be terribly discouraging. It's a long ramp up. And we go back to statistics, like 1 in 5 companies fail And so you need to be aware that you're going to have to beat the odds. What's it going to take to beat the odds? What's going to make you different? So the other thing you need to be aware of is, what is your differentiating feature? Why you for that particular kind of work?
Absolutely.
Be clear and what's your secret sauce? And then the third is, be prepared to put in a lot of hard work. You've got to really put your shoulder to the grindstone until you can make it over. There's kind of a hump until you get to, you know, enough people on your email list, until you have enough funds coming in that you can actually purchase more advertising so you can have more reach. So you just have to be aware that it's a combination of mindset, which is the resilience needed for the long haul. What's your secret sauce? And being clear about what you want to do and the steps that you need to take to do that.
And pay your taxes.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, being an entrepreneur is not a slush fund, okay? Co-mingling your money, you know, not keeping accurate records. It's just a point and a click. And you've built this great thing, you know, this great business, and the IRS will come in and, like Lyndon said, have your chonies down by your knees, you know? So you have to be professional. Hire where you're weak. If, you know, marketing is not your thing, you know, hire someone. If writing text or content or website design is not your thing, hire where you're weak, because you want to really have a blanket that covers all of the gaping holes. You want to look attractive. You want to be competitive. And again, look at your price point. Be competitive. You don't have to be the low-cost leader.
Well, and to your point, April, there's all sorts of resources available to support you to take your business to the level of professionalism that it needs to be at. So whether it's online apps, whether it's advisors, like I mentioned before, the Small Business Administration or SCORE, or to your point, if you're looking for someone to write content, using resources like FlexJobs or Fiverr or...
Fiverr is a beast, man. I mean, you can get everything from a logo to a business plan to a website to a book. That's a great platform. I wish I had have invested in them and Zoom. I would be sitting pretty right now.
I actually had a friend who sent me a message. She invested in Zoom in the fall before the lockdown.
Wow.
She was sitting sweet.
Yeah, sitting sweet. It is. And really learning how to make money work for you, brains. You don't have to be a slave to the dollar. You know, churn the machine, work with people, partner with individuals. You can still be an entrepreneur, but still have a great partnership.
Well, and you make a great point. Affiliate relationships, depending on the niche that you're in, can be a part of a, you know, a trifecta, if you will, of ways that you can potentially earn income. So think of affiliate relationships as being another source potentially for not only getting eyes on your business, but other ways that you can support other entrepreneurs.
And what you have to understand, there's 2.4 billion people on the planet, brains. We haven't touched everyone. Recycle, repurpose your information, your content. Everybody hasn't seen it. Diversify, be on different platforms. All these algorithms have changed. We're beholden and we're, you know, all addicted to the social media platforms. But make them work for you, just like you're working for them. Grab the low-hanging fruit. I look at people right now, Lyndon. They have 5,000 people in their group. And I'll say, well, do you know this person, that person? They have no idea. Someone has extended you an invitation and you just let them in your world. You don't know who they are. You don't know what their intention is. You don't know what their business is. You don't know how it could benefit you. You don't know how it could harm you. Grab the low-hanging fruit. Know the people. Look on their page. 5-10 people, have a coffee chat. Because again, these are the people that already are interacting with you. You don't have to cast a wide net and mess around and scoop up a bunch of sardines. You might have a whale right there waiting for you, right, Lyndon?
That's right. That's absolutely right. So take the investment in creating real connections is really what the secret to success.
Absolutely. Well, you are the secret to success. I thank you so much. Put those books back up there. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I really, really, brains, I want you to go in and take full on advantage of the information that she is providing. She's a former attorney. She's worked in healthcare. She's a recruiter for top level executives. She knows what it is. She knows the buzzwords and how to guide you, whether you want to be an entrepreneur or you want to be a W-2 employee. Either way, there's no shame in the game, right? Ignite your leadership.
So this book is called Ignite Your Leadership. Myself and other Jack Canfield trainers wrote this book. This is our second edition. 90% of the content is new. Our first edition came out in 2017. And just so you know, my chapter is really personal and very intimate. But the other thing I want you to know is go to my website, captivatingcareers.com. I'm in the process of launching a brand new website. So if you see some typos, let me know that too. We're working on that detail. But captivatingcareers.com, it'll show you all the different products that I offer. I am in search of supporting people in their creativity around work. We spend more than 100,000 hours on average at work in our lives. It ought to be work that lights us up and inspires us rather than expires us. So that's the sweet spot where I want to work with people. I can guide you confidently in a job campaign or through the executive transition into some kind of a promotion, if that makes sense for you. So that's who I am. That's how I show up in the world. Oh, one last thing. I also have the privilege of working with the AARP Foundation's Back to Work 50 Plus program.
Wow. And
so I am one of the two national coaches that support that program. We serve thousands of people each year in that program. So if it
I know, and people think, oh, it's just millennials. Oh, well, I'm too old. Let me tell you, I went to a networking event and the focus was on hiring people over 50 because there was a work ethic there. That they wouldn't say, oh, you know, I've been drinking all weekend and I'm not able to do this, or sitting there not interacting, or not really thinking about the growth of the company, or no input. So again, there is a lot of opportunities. And I know, you know, at 65, 70, you don't want to have to work. But if you haven't set yourself up or circumstances have changed, go back, know that there are opportunities, high level opportunities. Great opportunity, plan, great money, maybe with some flexibility because they're looking for you to coach and mentor others individual. And I tell you, Lyndon, you are the business. Yes, you are. Thank you for being here on the edge with me and the brains, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Brains, I ask that you go in, like, love, and subscribe to everything. We are on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. That's where our tribe lives. We want to bring you the best and the brightest that the world has to offer so that you can shine and make some money, right? Thanks so much, Lyndon. Come back and see me.
I would love that, April. Thank you. You take care. It's been a pleasure.
Bye, brains.